Good morning, everyone. Come, long-expected Jesus. Come, set your people free. From our fears and hurts release us. Let us find in you our peace. You are strength and consolation. You are hope for all the earth. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every loving heart. Good morning, everyone, and happy Christmas to you all. Thank you. Welcome to St. Andrew's on the Terrace. My name is Fiona McDougall, taking the service today. Susan's going down to see her dad to spend some time with him at Christmas. Welcome to strangers, relatives, people who haven't been for a while, and people who only come occasionally, and the regulars. All of you are very welcome today, and we're glad to celebrate Christmas with you all. Now, I was just going to ask Vari to come up with our boys and light, because we've got a multiplicity of candles today. We've got the four Advent calendar candles, the Christmas candle, and the rainbow candle. So, Vari, will you read the wee story, and then we'll get the boys to light the candles.
Partner story from Lebanon. Our story is our future. In Lebanon, Syrian refugee students relish the opportunity to learn at the Sabra Centre. With their families, they have fled from war. Falling funding for refugee services and rising costs is making life harder. School is a welcome opportunity to learn skills that they can take with them, no matter what the future. Older students can train in electronics and computer maintenance so that one day they can return home to bring hope to their shattered homeland. In the lighting of this Christ candle, we make space within ourselves to hear and engage with the voices of those we might otherwise miss, but with whom we are connected by our common humanity. Light of love, your moment has come. Into a world sorely in need of your light, you are born. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot put it out.
Light the candle of love. May it light the way for us as we make hope our story. Thank you. Do have a seat. And we'll pray the Lord's Prayer together. You'll have a laminated card that says Lord's Prayer on the top. And we begin, Eternal Spirit, Life Giver, Pain Bearer, Love Maker, Source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God, in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. And the Rainbow Room candle that we lit over here is to remember, to show that we are an inclusive community and that children have a special place here. So we remember all our children who are busy opening presents or away celebrating today. Now, I have got a story here. If you'd like to come and sit up the front, if you're happy to come, boys, you're welcome to come and join us. But if you want to sit there, that's fine. Whatever you'd rather. It's okay. Oh, Graham's going to come and be a big boy. Okay. So this is a story called Great Joy, and it's a Northern Hemisphere snow story. Well, there's snow in the story. So, and it's a girl story. So there's a wee girl called Frances, but she could have been a wee boy called Frances, actually. So here we go. A week before Christmas, a monkey appeared on the corner of Fifth and Vine. He was wearing a green vest and a red hat, and with him was a man, an organ grinder, who played music for the people on the street. In the daytime when the sun shone, the sequin on the monkey's vest glittered and flashed, and from the window of the apartment, Francis could see the tin cup that he held onto and lifted out to the people who walked by. Sometimes it was very quiet, and for just a minute she could hear the music. It came across the crowded sidewalk and up through the windows. And even though the organ grinder and the monkey were just across the street, the song sounded sad and far away, like the music from a dream. And there's a picture here of Frances getting ready in her angel outfit. And her mum sewn up the hem. "Where do they go to at night?" Frances asked. "Who?" said her mother. "The man and his monkey." "Oh, Frances," said her mother, "don't ask me questions I can't answer. I'm sure they go somewhere. Everyone goes somewhere." "But where?" said Frances. "I have no idea," said her mother. "Turn around." Frances turned. Her mother pinned the bottom of her robe. "There," she said, "that's all I have to do. Now I'll hem it, and you'll be ready. Have you memorized your lines?" "Yes," said Frances. "Are you excited about the pageant?" "Yes," said Frances, and she turned away from her mother and looked out the window at the monkey. That night, Frances made herself stay awake. She hummed songs and said her multiplication tables. She named the capitals of each state. It would keep you awake. Every time she felt as if she might fall asleep, she shook her head and pinched her arm and opened her eyes wide. Finally, at midnight, Frances got out of bed and crept down the hallway to the living room. There's a picture of her creeping down. She looked down into the street. She saw the organ grinder. But where was the monkey? Her heart thumped. And then she saw him, tucked inside the man's overcoat. his small red hat still on his head. "Look at me," Francis whispered. "Look up here." And there he is down there in the snow. It was the organ grinder who looked up. He took his cap from his head and raised it to her. He's saluting her. "They sleep on the street," Frances said the next morning, "even when it snows." "Oh, Frances," said her mother, "maybe they could come for dinner." "No, they can't come for dinner," said her mother. "Why not?" "They're strangers, that's why. Eat your breakfast, Frances. You've got a big day ahead of you." Now she was asking her mum questions, and her mum's ironing her angel robe. All that day it snowed, but by evening, in time for the pageant, the sky cleared. The snow was so deep that Frances had to wear her boots for the walk to the church. The organ grinder and the monkey were still on their corner. There they are, and there's Frances. Frances ran up and put a nickel in the monkey's cup. "I'm going to the Christmas play tonight," she said. "I get to wear wings, and I have one line to say. Do you want to hear it?" "Frances," said her mother, "we are going to be late. Let's go." "You can come," Frances said, turning back. "The play is at the church. It's just down the street. You can both come." The organ grinder smiled at her, but his eyes looked sad. At the church, everyone else was ready in costume. "Hurry," the choir director said as he helped Frances put on her wings. The shepherds walked out first. Then the choir director pointed at Frances. "Now," he whispered. Frances stood very still. She opened her mouth, but the words would not come. "Say it," whispered one of the shepherds. "Say it," hissed an angel who did not have any words to say. The camel, which was really two people, swayed nervously back and forth. But Frances could not speak. All she could think about was how cold it was outside and how sad the organ grinder's eyes had looked, even when he smiled. The world was quiet. Everyone waited. Then at the back of the sanctuary, a door opened. Can you see who it is? Yeah, it's the organ grinder and his little monkey coming in the back door there. Frances smiled. "Behold," she shouted, "I bring you tidings of great joy." And because the words felt so right, Frances said them again. "Great joy." And there's a picture of her. She looks like a very sweet angel, doesn't she? So do come and have a look at their beautiful pictures in this book. It's lovely. So if you get a minute at the end, come and have a look. I'll leave it here. So that's our story. And I think we'll say Happy Christmas or Pass the Peace or greetings to each other.
Today's Hebrew reading is from Psalm 98 as an interpretation by Nan Merrill. It's from Psalms for Praying, an invitation to wholeness. Oh, sing to the beloved a new song, for love has done marvelous things. By the strength of your indwelling presence, we too are called to do great things. We are set free through love's forgiveness and truth. Yes, your steadfast love and faithfulness are ever-present gifts in our lives. All the ends of the earth have seen the glory of love's eternal flame. Make a joyful noise to the beloved, all the earth. Break forth into grateful song and sing praises. Yes, sing songs of praise extolling love's way. Lift up your hearts with gratitude and joy. Let all the voices of all the people blend in harmony. In unison, let the people magnify the beloved. Let the sea laugh and all that fills it, and the world and those who dwell in it. Let the waters clap their hands. Let the hills ring out with joy before the Beloved who radiates love to all the earth. For love reigns over the world with truth and justice, bringing order and balance to all of creation. The Gospel readings from John 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of our Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The words that we heard today, give thanks.
As we celebrated Christmas last Sunday with story and song, I found myself considering these familiar stories. Just for a moment, I imagine the Gospels without any tales of Jesus' birth. No angels bringing tidings of great joy. No shepherds or wise ones. No star and gifts. No mother and baby. How much we would lose without them. So I pray that as we reflect on the Nativity stories today, we will be able to savor them anew. A midwife that I worked with in Wellington Hospital told me once that babies exude an inviting scent from their heads. It's designed to make them want to pick the babies up and cuddle them. I believed her because this was something I'd experienced myself, and even felt that the babies that I picked up and held had left that scent on my hands and on my body. Scientists at Montreal University in 2013 found that this was in fact true, that the smell of babies promotes bonding, especially with their mothers. It probably helps overcome some of the less pleasant baby smells too. There is something about babies that is very attractive, and that may account for the fact that the stories of the birth of Jesus are told around the world by people of all faiths and none. But I think there is a wisdom behind these ancient stories that is greater than just the cuteness of babies, and that speaks through time to us today. In my early 40s, I had a period of several years when I struggled with faith. Although I see that now as a time of transition, at the time it was pretty devastating. One of the things I missed most at that time was the sense of awe and wonder that I experienced at Christmas sometimes when I came to church. But I've learned in time that the Christmas narratives can be understood at different levels, from enchanting children's tale to poetry of deep meaning. And wonder returns for me now as I ponder those meanings. Scholars tell us that the stories of Jesus' birth at the beginning of Matthew and Luke's Gospel may have been written long after they happened. Perhaps it was only once the significance of Jesus' life, birth, and birth, life, and resurrection sunk in that people were more interested in recording the tales of his birth. They are told with hindsight, reflecting what was seen as important in Jesus' adult life. This may be why the wise men brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, associated by the early church fathers with kingliness, deity, and death. The Christmas stories are also grounded deeply in the tradition of the Hebrew scriptures. Matthew's Gospel, in particular, links happenings in the early life of Jesus to events in Exodus and also the words of the prophets. For example, the murder of the children in Bethlehem by Herod has resonances of the Egyptian pharaoh's attempt to kill the enslaved Hebrew boy babies in Exodus. So Jesus' birth is placed as a center point, a linchpin in time, where the promises of the Hebrew scriptures are fulfilled and a new era dawns. But perhaps the most mysterious of the Gospel writings about the birth of Jesus is the reading that we heard today from John's Gospel. And sometimes it's a bit hard to follow, which is why I had it printed in the order of service in that format. It seems to make it a bit clearer. Theologian and lecturer Paula Gooder calls this Jesus' spiritual genealogy rather than his human whakapapa recounted in Matthew and Luke. It portrays something fundamental and unexpected about Jesus, what the writer believed were his real origins before time or the universe began. The vision and poetry of this passage are awesome. The holding together of a tiny newborn and the power which created the universe is mind-boggling. It's incomprehensible to our rational minds, But I think, though the rational mind has its uses and is necessary in some situations, there are other, more intuitive ways of knowing. Those ways can lead us to deeper truths. They can help us grasp something of the meanings the gospel writers may have wanted to convey. This is perhaps the deepest and most transformative level at which we can engage these texts. If we imaginatively inhabit these ancient stories about the birth of Jesus, we can experience them at that deeper level. If we bring our life situations and emotions in all their richness and variety to these stories, then we may encounter the Jesus we meet in them in a life-giving way. Hello, John. Have a seat. Last Christmas, I was in Scotland. I stayed there for a year. And my niece Sarah announced at Christmas that she was pregnant. This was more of a surprise to some of us than to others, but it certainly made our Christmas very special. It brought a lump to my throat and tears to my sister's eyes. It's hard to put into words why we were so moved, but perhaps it had something to do with the deep longing that we shared as a family for Sarah's future happiness. It was also the sense of a new generation coming into the world, and all the hope and excitement that entailed. It brought other emotions with it as time passed, a protective wonder towards Sarah, a tinge of sadness for me, who's never had babies. We all had different degrees of anxiety as Sarah went into labor, and great joy when Rowan was delivered. And my mum realized that she was a great granny, for heaven's sake, and surely a very old lady. I guess these events are not really unique and special, though they seemed like it to us. Many of you will have lived through similar situations, but experiencing them has connected me more to the stories of Jesus' birth. As my mum, the proud great-grandmother, held little Rowan on her knee, I had a poignant moment, realizing that they had something in common. It wasn't just a physical resemblance. It was the shared vulnerability of those near the beginning and near the end of their lives. And I guess that vulnerability is part of all of our lives, always, though we may live many years not even being aware of it. So this is what I see in the nativity scene this year. As we gather to celebrate Rowan's birth towards the end of August, I realized that her coming had changed many things. My niece Sarah had amazingly been transformed into a very competent, caring, and playful mum. And that was a beautiful thing to see. My sister was also aware of needing to develop new qualities as a grandmother, a delicate balance of supporting and giving space to the growing family. Two family networks were bonded together more than ever now through shared wonder and love for this new baby. And some of us rediscovered rusty knitting skills, while others of us picked up a needle and thread for the first time in many years, in a spurt of creativity. So I wonder if I span out to this baby Jesus, whose birth we gather to celebrate today, could things change for us also? Perhaps there are unexpected qualities we might discover in us, new awarenesses we want to explore. As we look around us, are there new relationships growing? And is there anything that we could do to sustain them? Could a shared wonder energize us to work creatively, expressing our love? In a video Sarah sent me, she was calling out to Rowan to get her to look up. As Rowan gazes up at her, Sarah asks her, "What are you thinking?" And we all wonder what is going on as yet unspoken in that dear little head. What sort of person will she be? And gazing at the baby Jesus, at this as yet wordless word, I feel the same question surface in me. What will he become? More than we know, perhaps. More than we know. A quote from Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan points us towards one answer. The birth stories are not a pipe dream, but a proclamation that what we see in Jesus is the way to a different kind of life and a different future. So may it be. We'll listen now to some music. pray now for other people. Let us pray. As we pray today, we remember the message of goodwill to all, sung joyfully by a huge choir of angels, to announce the coming of the one called Prince of Peace. So we are not afraid, but come confidently, bringing the needs of ourselves and our world to God. We call to mind those around us who are exhausted after working long hours in pressure conditions, who have been hanging out for the holiday period and can now put off their work clothes, change into shorts and a t-shirt, and relax. May the holiday period be a time of rest and recuperation. We remember those we know in hospital or sick at home and pray for help and healing for them. We think of those among us who feel moments of sadness and loneliness in the middle of celebration and festivity. May the tender love present at the manger be a strength and support. And we remember some of the darker places in the world where the light of Christmas is sorely needed. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for centuries at the centre of conflict, and now more than ever, the focus of international dispute and violence. We recollect those affected by the fires in California, who have lost homes and workplaces and are rebuilding their lives. With trepidation, we have watched the escalation of nuclear capability in North Korea and listened to threatening exchanges between national leaders. May the voices of moderation and calm in our world community prevail. And in the book, we remember Judy and John this special Christmas and pray that they be strengthened and supported. May the song of the angels echo in our hearts. The peace of which they sang become a reality in our world. And the love of the Christ child flow through our lives. And now we pray from the laminated card, the prayer for St. Andrew's. And please make this a prayer for your community, if you don't belong here, or for our community here. Renew your people, God, and renew our life in this place. Give us a new spirit of unity with all who follow Christ, and a new spirit of love towards all people. Bless the city in which we live, that it may be a place where honest dealing, good government, the desire for beauty, and the care for others flourish. Bless this church, that what we know of your will may become what we do, and what we believe the strong impulse of our worship and work. Amen.
Thank you.
as we go out into the rest of Christmas Day, may the energy of the Creator fill us with possibility. The presence of the baby Jesus touch our hearts, and the joy of the Spirit accompany us.